Our first speaker is William Simons. He directs the Pathways to Prosperity Project, which is based at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Mr. Simons helped create the Pathways Project while he was a senior fellow at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government in 2007. Prior to that time, he spent 25 years as a senior correspondent and bureau chief for Business Week magazine. He covered businesses and he covered education in the United States and abroad. So he led bureaus in Boston and Denver, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Rome. The Pathways Project that he directs released a major report in February of 2011, and it outlines a number of promising solutions to how we could better prepare youth for the workforce. And in about 2 years, Mr. Simons has spoken on this report and his project in 35 states. He's following up with several of those states who are interested in moving forward. He's given presentations in 12 communities in Wisconsin. Bill, you must just spend a great deal of time in airports. Golly, you can't help but admire the passion this man has for seeing young people succeed in the workforce. You know, and I'm not sure where that passion comes from. Bill, is it from your vast knowledge of research in this area? Is it the interest you're getting from policymakers, you know, across the country on both sides of the aisle in this topic? Is it from your own family? Bill has three kids, two who've taken the college route and one who's taking the route of career and technical education. Or maybe it's from your belief that you write about in your briefing report that if society is going to do better for kids, each of us is going to have to play a role. And we want to thank you, Bill, for the important role you're playing and for taking to the air one more time to come and speak today. His topic is what contributes to youth workforce success and how states are responding.
Well, good morning. It's really a pleasure to be here, and I'd like to thank whoever's responsible for the weather today. You know, as you may have heard in the news, we had a massive blizzard in Boston, where I live, and the governor of Massachusetts actually ordered a total ban on automobile traffic for 24 hours, from 4 p.m. on Friday to 4 p.m. on Saturday, and said when he issued the ban that if you're caught driving, you could face up to a year in prison. So normally the traffic in Boston is really bad. I've never seen streets so deserted. I mean, it was literally totally obeyed. And what that meant was that the plows were able to get out and clear the streets. That didn't happen in Long Island. And as a result of that, they had lots of cars that had to be abandoned. And of course, once you abandon a car, the plows can't get through. So this is the second time I've spoken at the Wisconsin Family Impact Seminars. It's really a pleasure to be back. Today, what I'm going to do is talk about some of the highlights of the Pathways report, for those of you who aren't totally familiar with it, but then spend most of my time talking about how states around the country, both blue states and red states and purple states as well, are responding to the report and some of the policies and actions they're taking. And we're seeing a tremendous upsurge of action. And I think the reason for this is wherever I go and whoever I meet, I think the problem we're talking about is really a problem that touches virtually every family in the United States. You know, I'm sure if you think about your own family, whether it's your immediate family or cousins and other relatives, you're going to think of young people who are struggling to find their way forward. Maybe they can't figure out what they want to do. Maybe they've gone to college and they can't get a job. Or they're unemployed. You know, our youth unemployment rate right now is at near record levels. And I think that's why there's been such a tremendous response. This is not really a Republican or a Democratic issue. I think it's the one issue on which we have real potential to take some bipartisan action. And let me say that right to begin with, our thesis is that, you know, this is not going to be solved you know, by a massive increase in government spending. What we really need is a collaborative approach, and we really need to engage the business community here in Wisconsin and around the nation. In solving this problem. It's not a problem that can be solved just by our schools and government alone. We have to work in partnership with the business community because, after all, that's where most of the jobs are in our economy. So just to give you a brief review of the Pathways report, we launched the project in the fall of 2008. Now, fortunately, we had raised the funding for the project before the recession hit. That was very fortunate because otherwise we probably never would have gotten off the ground. And we didn't know that the recession was coming. I guess in my defense, I'd say the Federal Reserve Board didn't seem to see it coming either. But We launched it with really two key questions. The first one is, why are we failing to prepare so many of our young people to lead successful lives as adults? And we think that's one of the major challenges facing the United States right now, our failure to make sure that all of our young adults really have the skills they need to succeed in today's economy. And the second question was, what would we need to do if we wanted to dramatically improve those results so that more young people could lead successful lives? So those were the two big questions we launched the project with. We then spent a couple of years in research. But unlike many research projects, we weren't just in the library. We were out around the country working with partners who are also concerned about this, especially in Illinois, Silicon Valley, and Massachusetts. So we had a real on-the-ground approach right from the beginning. And then we released the report in February of 2011, 2 years ago, in an event in Washington that was attended by Secretary Duncan. And at that point, we didn't know what the response was going to be. You know, as my fellow panelists can tell you, there's lots of research reports coming out on education all the time. Many of them don't get that much attention. This one, though, the response has really been overwhelming. At this point, as Karen said, we've spoken in two-thirds of the states, every region of the country, and pretty much an equal division among red states and blue states. We've been to all the New England states, Pennsylvania and New York and Maryland and the Mid-Atlantic region. Here in the Midwest, basically every state in the Midwest. On the west, the entire West Coast, Washington, Oregon, California, even Hawaii, Arizona. And then states in the South and Southwest, Texas, Oklahoma, Georgia, Florida, North and South Carolina. So it's really been a national response, and it's really cut across the aisle. You can't find states that are more apart politically than a state like Oklahoma, where I spoke in the state legislature, or a state like Massachusetts, where during the election they said Mitt Romney, even though he's from Massachusetts and had been governor, had no chance of winning as a Republican. So obviously, it's a very blue state. And yet, in both states, there's been tremendous interest in response. And I think that's because this is a crisis that really, as I say, impacts certainly every community in this country, and virtually every family has been touched by the problem. So here in Wisconsin, the response has been especially strong. As Karen said, I've been invited back time and time again. Some of the places where I've spoken the most, there's been a lot of interest in what some people call the New North. Appleton, Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, and that area up there. And I think it's the, that what we talk about in the Pathways Report is really beginning to take hold. Last fall, I did an in-service at Fox Valley Technical College, and we had the superintendent from Appleton, and they had a panel after my presentation, and he was talking about how he sees the problem, and he said, he's really beginning to rethink about what his job was. And it used to be that he thought his job was, how many of my kids are going to go to Madison? That's sort of the measure of success. You know, how many of the kids graduating from Appleton High School are going to end up going to the University of Wisconsin? Now, he said, he's thinking a lot more about, what about the 40% of my students who are living in poverty? What's going to happen to them? Many of them aren't going to come to Madison. They're not going to have the financial resources to do that. How are we going to prepare them for success? He's focusing a lot more on that, and he's beginning to look at other options for success, including Fox Valley, which offers phenomenal resources to prepare students to get into the labor market. Milwaukee has been another real hotbed of tremendous interest, and I've spoken to all kinds of groups in Milwaukee, the business community, the Greater Milwaukee Committee, people involved in STEM education, Project Lead the Way. I've been to the campus of Milwaukee Area Technical College. By the way, in case you don't know it, MATC is now the second largest grad school in the state of Wisconsin. Now, you wouldn't think of MATC as a grad school. It's a two-year school. It gives out certificates and associate's degree. The reason why it's become so big is they have over 4,000 students there who've already earned their four-year degree. The problem is they can't find a job in today's economy, or at least not a job that's going to pay them the kind of wage they want. MATC is training people with the technical skills that you need to get a well-paying job, and that's why there's over 4,000 bachelor's degree candidates, holders, who are at MATC right now, trying to get those jobs. And so there's been tremendous interest in Milwaukee, here in Madison. I've been here several times as well. And I'm going to be back again next week, believe it or not, speaking to the, I think it's the Wisconsin School Counselors Association. So let me say also that Wisconsin is going to send a very large delegation to the conference we're having next month at Harvard called Creating Pathways to Prosperity. That's a national conference. We're bringing in people from all over the country, but I think Wisconsin is going to be one of the best represented states at that conference. So why is there so much interest? I've already told you, I think one reason is that this is a problem affecting almost every family in the country. I think that another way to look at it is the American dream is really hanging in the balance here. We face near record youth unemployment. Last year there was a report that said that 53% of recent four-year college graduates are either unemployed or underemployed. In other words, they got their degree from the University of Wisconsin, but now they're working at Starbucks. And I would argue you don't need a four-year degree to work at Starbucks, although quite a few people working there do have four-year degrees. Matter of fact, the Starbucks across from my office in Harvard Square, I think you need a graduate degree if you're going to work in there. a second issue is what used to be called the one road to heaven approach, the idea there's only one way to make it in America, and that's to take a pre-college curriculum in high school, take your SAT or SAT, go to college, and get your four-year degree. I think the financing of that is really coming under tremendous tension. And we see that in the student debt crisis. Students now hold over $1 trillion of student debt. And as you know, unlike credit card debt, you cannot discharge that in bankruptcy court. You're stuck with it for life. So many of our young people are going out into the world saddled with a huge amount of debt, not knowing how they're going to pay for it. I think ultimately that's going to lead us to have to rethink this whole system and how we finance it, because I just don't think it's sustainable the way it's going now. A second issue is that the middle class is under growing pressure. Median incomes have been falling, and it's actually fallen back to the level of the where we were in the mid-1990s, so we've lost a lot of progress. So the bottom line is that we face a huge challenge, but we also have a real opportunity to make progress. This is certainly an issue that virtually all of your constituents in Wisconsin care very deeply about. For many of them, I think it's the issue they care most about. So we start by talking about what we call the Pathways Challenge. And basically, that's the issue that we're increasingly failing to prepare many of our young people to lead successful lives. In rough terms, we'd say that we're failing to prepare about half of our young people with the skills and that they need to succeed today. Now, why is this developed? One reason is that for many years, we were the world leader in education by virtually every measure. But we've lost that leadership. In the last generation, we're no longer number one in high school graduation. Matter of fact, we're not even in the top 10. We're not number one in college graduation, but we are number one by one dubious metric, which is producing college dropouts. We produce more college dropouts than any other country in the world. So that's one problem, the loss of our leadership in global education. A second issue is that our teens and young adults are increasingly shut out of the labor force. There's been a tremendous increase in youth unemployment. Teens aren't able to get jobs in the summer and get that experience. Young people go to college, they come out, they can't really get a job that's commensurate with the education they got. This is really a massive challenge. And you know, the question is, what impact is that going to have in the future? We would argue that the years between 16 and 24 are actually really important for human development. This is a great time to learn what it takes to succeed in the workforce, to develop not only the soft skills, but some of the hard skills. If you're sitting on the sidelines during that period of life, you may never catch up. You may never realize the potential you would have if you had, in fact, had been employed during this period of time. And a third issue is a growing number of social problems that we face. We've seen a real decline in the family, and this is the Family Impact Seminars. Some of you might enjoy reading a book that Charles Murray wrote last year called Coming Apart, in which he details this in quite considerable detail of what's been happening in the United States. And one of the things he points out is that today, more than half the children born to women under 30 are being born outside of marriage. The reality is that many of those babies are growing up in poverty. And obviously, if you're growing up in poverty, that limits the resources, that limits the opportunities for those young people. So why are they living in poverty? One reason is that those young people don't really have the skills they need to get a job that would allow them to support that child. So this is a really massive social phenomenon that's developed in recent years. And I think solving the pathways challenge is something that would help us deal with this. By the way, one of the things we advocate is a big increase in financial literacy. Talking to high school kids about what are the consequences if you decide to have a child out of wedlock, what's it going to be like when you're trying to raise that child? And as you know, for many of those young women, unfortunately, it's a huge struggle financially. So the danger we have when you add all this up is that we're going to end up with what I call a wasted generation. Millions of young adults who don't realize their full potential. And if that happens, it's going to have severe impact on the future growth of our economy. That's why we really have to address this problem. So one of the key points we talk about is what's the connection between education and the economy? How much education do you actually need to succeed? Now, the popular belief of many parents in Wisconsin is if you're going to make it, you need a four-year degree. That's their goal for their children. The reality in the economy, though, is that only about a third of the jobs that are being created right now actually require a four-year degree or higher. Another 30% require a two-year degree, or at least some college, the kind of education you're going to get at the technical college system, for example. And 36% require only a high school degree or less. The problem is those jobs increasingly are not that well paid and don't offer much in the way of benefits. So as educators and as reformers, we want to encourage all students to get a high school degree and also to go beyond high school to get at least some post-secondary education. Now, looking at the situation here in Wisconsin, by 2018, Wisconsin is expected to have 3.2 million jobs. 60% of those jobs are going to require some education beyond high school, but look at the breakdown. Only 27% are going to require a four-year degree from the University of Wisconsin UWM or schools like that, and 33% are going to require an associate's degree or some college. So in Wisconsin, the balance is tilted in favor of the two-year institutions. That's actually more important to the Wisconsin economy than the four-year colleges. And I think that the legislature, you keep that in mind, that this is really a vitally important engine for the future of the Wisconsin economy. The technical college system, by the way, in my opinion, having gone to 35 states, is one of the real jewels in the United States. It's something that you created in Wisconsin. MATC is now over 100 years old, that you can really be proud of. Many states do not have a system that can match what you've done here. And in recognition of that, at the Pathways Conference, we've asked Brian Albrecht, president of Gateway Technical College, to speak about effective post-secondary models. Brian is a national leader really creating an effective program, and he's known around the country for the leadership he provides in southeastern Wisconsin. So, summing all this up, we argue that we need to rethink how we define success for young adults. We need to move away from the idea that there's only one road to heaven and talk about multiple pathways to success. Community and technical college are really important, apprenticeships, the military and community service. The idea, we need to tell young people there's more than one way to succeed, and we need to start honoring those pathways. Now, if we're going to do that, there's several principles we need to talk about. One is multiple pathways. Give all students more than one way to succeed, not just one road to heaven. Secondly, we need to engage employers, and that's critically important. We cannot solve this problem without them. And thirdly, we call for a new social compact with young people. That just means let's focus our attention on solving this problem. Now, on multiple pathways, there are several things we need to do. We need to offer career education at world-class levels. Right now, we have some good programs. We need to increase the number of those good programs. We need to provide high-quality career counseling to all students so they have a better idea of what the options are and what they need to succeed in those, and that needs to be combined with financial literacy. And we need to greatly expand opportunities for work-based learning. We think that's vitally important. Not everything can be accomplished in the classroom. As far as employers, what we think they can do is, number one, they can get involved in talking to students about what opportunities there are in the job market. They can help solve the career guidance crisis. They can help design programs of study, and they can provide opportunities for work-based learning. So these are three very practical things that Wisconsin employers could do to help solve this crisis. Now, just very briefly, I want to say that as part of our research, we looked at what other countries are doing. And what we found is there's some countries that are world leaders, including Switzerland and Germany, that have really embraced this idea. In Switzerland, 2 out of 3 high school students are involved in an apprenticeship program in high school. They don't stay in school all day.
They get out of school and they're working at a company or an industry, learning on the job about what it takes to succeed. And they offer kids more than 200 different apprenticeship opportunities. So they're really the good examples of what's called the dual system. And the impact of that is that Switzerland now has the lowest rate of youth unemployment in the world, about 5%, less than a third of what it is in the US, and that compares to like 50% in Greece. So looking at all of that, the OECD studied countries that are providing this, and they reached three key conclusions. If you take this multiple pathways approach, you're going to accomplish three things. First of all, you're going to achieve higher academic results. Kids are going to be more interested in what they're learning, and they're going to learn more. That's going to lead to higher attainment. They're more likely, if they're engaged in school, they're more likely to graduate. And thirdly, it's going to lead to lower youth unemployment. So there's very solid research based on years of experience, not just a pilot program, but years in which these programs have been in operation, that demonstrate this is an approach that can really work. Now let's take a look at what's going on here in the United States. And there really is a lot going on. And I'll try to very quickly give you some of the highlights. First of all, we have states that really have embraced the idea of offering high-quality career and technical education to students as an option that's open to most students. In Massachusetts, we have a system of regional vocational technical high schools. My youngest son, Chris, goes to one of those. He's a culinary major at that school. And the way it's set up is they spend 1 week on culinary and the next week on academic subjects. What's been the result? He's now a junior. In middle school, he was struggling. He's now a straight-A student. What about his academic results? In middle school, he took the state math test, and he scored needs improvement. Not good, right? In 10th grade, he took the test for 10th graders. He scored advanced. His growth rate was 97%. He grew more than 97% of the other high school students in Massachusetts. Why is that? I mean, you wouldn't think culinary is a math-related subject. The reason is he got into a school where he was actually excited about what he was doing that's related to the real world. It's not just academic, it's not divorced from reality, it's real world. He's excited about his future, and he really has a plan to move forward. Compare that to the average high school student, and I think you'll see a real contrast. Oklahoma, one of the reddest states in the country, has really embraced this as well. They have a system of technology centers that combine this education both for high school students and adults in the same building. And Tennessee has a great program called the Tennessee Technology Centers. Now, Illinois has taken a very ambitious approach. Based on the Pathways Report, they've created what they call the Illinois Pathways Initiative. And what they're doing is bringing together business leaders along with educators to create what they call learning exchanges to improve career education. For example, in the area of manufacturing. They've got the Illinois Manufacturing Association working with educators to develop curriculum, but also opportunities for work-based learning and mentoring. The governor just kicked that off a year ago. In September, they announced the five learning exchanges they're going to launch in five different career areas, and it's in the process of being built out right now. The state of Washington is considering the Career Pathways Act, which would mandate more career counseling and more multiple pathways for students. The state of New York is taking a very interesting approach. They have something called the Regents exams in New York. You may have heard of that. To graduate from high school with a Regents diploma, you need to pass five academic exams: English, math, science, American history, and something called global studies. Now, for the first time, they're considering expanding that so students could take a career assessment as part of this. Now, why are they doing that? The fact is, they're sending parents in New York a false message. You think if you get a Regents diploma, you're ready to go. You're college ready. The reality is, although 74% of students in New York get a Regents diploma, only 37% are actually ready to do college-level work. The rest would have to go into remedial courses. So it's not making them college ready, and it's obviously not even measuring career readiness. So New York is thinking about changing its system in response to this. And many states have had Pathways conferences to look at this problem and figure out how they can move forward. So in terms of our next steps, we're holding this conference next month, March 18th and 19th, at Harvard. I know some members of the Wisconsin legislature are coming to the conference, along with many educators and business leaders from around the state. What we're going to be doing is looking at the major challenges we have to confront if we want to do that. And again, We're not going to be talking just about the role of government. We're talking really spending a lot of time talking about the role of business. We need a collaborative approach if we're going to solve this. That doesn't mean that we can solve it just from the State House. We have to work together with business leaders in Wisconsin and around the country if we're going to do it. And coming out of that, we're hoping to produce a report talking about the things we need to do and also issue a national call to action to move in this direction. So thank you very much for your attention, and I look forward to your questions as we move through the program.